In a minute, you can open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3 if you can read them, but you might have to look at them on your phones or something that's backlit. And we are going to continue this series. We have been talking about destiny distractors, things that distract us from the destiny, the call of God on our lives. Every person has a destiny. Every person has a call on your life. There is not one of us that is an accident on planet Earth. Every one of us has been designed, cared for, and our story, as unique as it is, as special, as different as it is an important story in God's line. He has uniquely equipped you to impact, to be a blessing in the lives of other people. You are. Now, I'm going to start with what I heard a pastor say once, years and years ago. The greatest sermon ever preached was two words long. Two power-packed words that if Jesus preached them to you today would impact you as much as they impacted the people who heard them then. The greatest sermon ever preached is follow me. Two words. Jesus was to walk into the middle of our time right now and just look you dead square in the eyes and say to you, follow me. Those words carry so much, don't they? So many implications. They immediately rise up in us the questions of, am I, will I, what does it mean? Follow you when, where, how? Luke tells a story. Luke actually records different folks coming to Jesus over a period of time saying, I will follow you. And the different excuses that kept people from following Jesus in his day. It's a powerful, powerful story. I just don't have time to tell it. But as we talk about destiny distractors and we look at Moses, we look at him and we say, first, a casual curiosity is one reason why a lot of us never get to our destiny. Like Moses, as he's in chapter 3 and he's leading his sheep through the desert. Now, 40 years he's been in Midian. 40 years he's been in the wilderness. 40 years he's been in total obscurity from his upbringing in the palace in Egypt. 40 years. And all of a sudden he sees a bush that is burning and not burning up. And he decides to turn aside and look at it. And instead of just giving it a passing glance and saying, oh, that's interesting, he decides, I'm going to go. And the Bible tells us when he turned aside and looked, the Lord noticed and then spoke to him from that bush. And we've been talking about how every one of us have the flame of God burning in us. It's the destiny, the calling that is on our lives. And yet some of us are only willing to give it a casual glance. Instead of looking, instead of intently coming and seeking the Lord and persevering until we hear from God about what he has for us, who he's called us to be, how he wants to use our story in his story. Casual curiosity last week. This week, we're talking about casual commitment. Casual commitment. What happens when we do finally turn aside to give our attention to the flame? The flame of God's call, God's destiny in our life. Well, a few things we'll see happen. One, we discover God's heart for people. When we decide to give God our attention, when we decide to turn aside and look at the calling of God on our lives, one thing you will hear, I guarantee it, is you will hear how God feels about a certain people group. You'll hear his heart. Secondly, we become accountable to the call. Maybe the fateful words we don't ever want to hear is, follow me. I'm sending you. A lot of times that's enough to keep us from attending the flame. And thirdly, we're faced with our own limitations. All these things come into view. As soon as you are willing, if you are willing to stop and say, God, what is it that you have for my life? At some point, I guarantee you will experience what Moses is experiencing. You will experience this reality that God really loves people and he's really calling you to make a difference in their life, to lead them into a whole new reality. And then you will discover that if he shares that with you, you are now faced with the issue of, will you follow me or not? Will I step out of my comfort zone or not? Or third, you will discover that you are totally ill-equipped to do what it is that God has called you to do. You cannot do it in your own strength. It is way bigger than you. These realities face us if we're willing to look. The question tonight is, will you be casual in your commitment, or will you look and will you say, God, I'm all in? And will you let him lead you? In verses 7 through 22, the rest of the chapter 3, it basically is this, and we'll read 7 through 14, but it's basically this story. He goes and he looks and he finally hears God starts talking to him, and God shares his heart for Israel. This is what I'm seeing. This is what's going on in their lives. I see their hardship. I see their suffering. I see what's going on in Egypt, and I want to do something about it. It's like, whoa, remember, this was where Moses was 40 years earlier. It's been a while since I had those passions. He wanted to do something about it. He saw their suffering. He saw what Egypt was doing. He saw their pain, and he wanted to do something about it. Now, 40 years later, God's saying, I see it. I want to do something about it. And then he says, and I want to send you. To which Moses goes, why would you choose me? And beyond why would you choose me, who are you? I don't even really know who you are. And he says, this is who I am. I am who I am. You tell them, I am has sent you. The God of their ancestors has come. And he says, I'm sending you. And this is what's happening at the end of chapter, the rest of chapter 3. So let's look at this in pieces and find ourselves in the middle of it, discovering God's heart for people. We discover it. It says in verse 7, then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering, and I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I also have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. He shares with Moses this intimate moment. God is talking to Moses from this fiery, flaming bush that isn't burning. He's turned aside. He's looking at it. God tells him, this is holy ground. Take off your sandals. We're about to have a moment. And then he shares with Moses what is in his heart, his desire for people. Everything about your calling and everything about my calling is not really about either you or me. It's about the people that are in God's heart that he has called us and uniquely equipped our lives to impact. For Mother Teresa, it was those suffering in Calcutta. For you, for me, right now we hear the cry of a whole people group in our nation saying, for so long, nobody has cared. Here's what I know, politics aside, loving people well will stir up in you empathy and compassion every time. Loving people well will keep you from getting hardened to the cries of other people, to the circumstances and the situations of their life. And as the people of God, the one thing we must always protect is our heart from getting hardened toward people. Are you with me? Because compassion and love is what leads us. It's what moves us in line with the heart of God. He shares that. He also shares that it's not just about seeing their suffering being alleviated. God's plan is not just to bring people out from things that keep them or hold them. The different strategies of Satan through sin to mess with people's lives and distort their reality and destroy their homes. All these things that are going on. God's not just to bring them out of that. It's to bring them into something else. I want to lead these people out. I want to bring them into my place of blessing in their life. I want to lead them into the real destiny and call on their lives to be my representatives in the world. Israel had a call on their life. And this is what God is calling us to be a part of, helping bring people out of wherever they are and bring them into the very best of what God has for them. This is where he invites us. For some, it's addictions. You know, addictions, they get a hold of people. They wrap these cords around them, whether it's drug addiction or alcohol addiction or or pornography or other issues. They just wrap around them and then they're stuck. Guess what? We have a God who wants to lead them out of that. Get them out of there. For others, it's cycles of brokenness in their homes. One generation repeats the same problems as the other generation. For others, it's cycles of abuse. For others, it's cycles of homelessness or poverty or other issues. Wherever God puts a spotlight, listen, when you turn aside to the flame and you hear what God has to say, he's going to always share his heart for people with you. Because God loves people. And he wants to bring them out of the things that diminish their lives and destroy their lives and into the things that will bring life and blessing over their life. Question is, will you turn aside long enough to hear his heart? You'll hear it. Commitment requires having God's heart for people. No other commitment matters. It doesn't matter what we do. If we don't have God's heart for people, it's all garbage, all of it. You can be the biggest philanthropist because you just have money and you want to give it out there and you can assuage your guilt. God says, listen, without love, all of it's meaningless. You can go ahead and give your body to the flames if you want. Without love, it counts as nothing. Because everything in God's economy is motivated by love. Everything. And if you need something to help you calibrate the season even that we're in, how you're processing the news, how you're processing what you're hearing around you, you can simply ask this, am I processing this through the lens of God's love for people or not? And that will always be a great calibrator. But then we hear this, we become accountable to the call. So the fateful verse 10, I think this is probably the biggest one for all of us. This verse 10. He shares his heart. This is holy ground. I'm talking to God through a bush that's on fire and not burning. And now I know it's holy ground. I cover my face. I'm a little bit terrified. And then he shares his heart with me. And I realize I've had this heart a long time, but I let that flame die a long time ago. And at the end of sharing all of that, Moses was probably a little bit fired up until God says, come, I will send you. You're my answer. You're my instrument. You're the one I want to send to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, how many of you know that Moses said, I was afraid you say that? How many of you know? You're thinking it too. I was afraid you'd say that. Like, this was going good until I actually heard you say, and I'm sending you. Like, send somebody else. I'm all behind this. I'm all about this. I'm all about helping people. I'm all about it. I'm sending you. That's a really good cause for somebody else. Because being sent requires us being willing to leave our safety. Every time. And hear this. Young people, hear me. Being sent requires us to leave our place of safety. Moses had a pretty good life at this point. The drama of Egypt had left him. His days were very predictable and very safe. I take care of my father-in-law's sheep. I take care of my family. I do this. I've done this for 40 years. This is what I do. It's a very predictable, very safe life. Moses was comfortable. Everything was good. I remember 17 years ago this weekend, we moved, by the way, to Rancho Santa Margarita. My wife reminded me of that as I was preparing the sermon. 17 years ago this weekend, we moved to Rancho Santa Margarita. But I'll never forget when this flame was burning, this call to move and plant a church in Rancho Santa Margarita, as it began to stir. Here's the reality for me. Life was good. Very stable. Our ministry was flourishing. It was at its peak. We were having a great time. And guess what? People liked me. It was really cool at that time. I'm like, this is good. And do you know, in the midst of that, as God's putting this burning passion for this city and these people I don't know, I've never met before, on our heart to come move here, this is what I kept hearing. Oh, you're going to threaten your family's safety. Because how are you going to pay for that? It ain't cheap to live in South Orange County. You're going to do that on a pastor's salary? Pastor's salary with no people? Well, good luck. Oh, church is going to cover you for 6 months. Great. What happens when 6 months are up? You now have a wife and a child to care for. You're now threatening your family. But we moved. 10 years after we moved and started the church, another flame popped up. God asking us to consider merging with another church in the city, in the community. Now, at that time, guess what was going on? Life was good. Ministry was flourishing. And guess what? People liked me. I was comfortable. We were settled. It was predictable. We had a beautiful building. Things were going great. And you know the fear I heard? You're going to threaten your church. Things are going great. Don't make a knucklehead mistake that's going to bring everybody down. Oof. But we did it anyways. Now this year, almost 7 years after bringing these together, God called us to take on and start a school here on this campus. And guess what? After 7 years or 6.5 years post-merge, life was finally getting good again. Ministry was finally flourishing again. And guess what? People started liking me again. It was a good season. Like, oh, this is good. And the fear that popped up is you threaten your reputation. You're putting your reputation on the line. And yet we did it anyways. Here's what I know about the calling of God on our lives, that God's calling requires commitment. Commitment will require sacrifice and the willingness to leave our places of safety and comfort. And then lastly, we get confronted with our limitations. Verse 11, Moses says, he says, I'll send you. Moses goes, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out? The reality is, who am I in this? And then he says, I'll be with you. Don't worry, I'll be with you. Well, then who are you? Here's what Moses is faced with. You're asking me to do something. There's no way I can do this in my strength. I don't have the capacity to now be a leader of millions of people. Not only that, to confront a powerful nation and tell them to do something they don't want to do. Here I am. Who am I to do this? He's faced with his own limitations. Two things he's faced with. His dependency and inability. I cannot do this without a God to help me. Which brings up another problem. His lack of relationship and faith in that God. I can't do this without God, and I can't trust God to do it through me. Now, anybody say those are two big problems? I can't do without him, and I don't know him well enough to actually do it through me. So how is this going to get done? And if you turn aside to attend the flame of God's call in your life, you will at some point be faced with this reality. It is bigger than you. If it's not bigger than you, I guarantee you, it's not a God-sized dream. He's got something way bigger in term for you. The challenge is we love to be self-determining agents, don't we? We like to make our own way in the universe. We like to work our way to financial independence. We try to take care of everything ourselves so that we don't need anybody. Anybody relate to that? I don't need anybody. I got this. And yet, walking with God requires us to say, I don't got this. A lot. All I got is you. The challenge is, when all we got is God, it's like any other relationship. You actually have to invest in that relationship if you're going to have confidence to ask for his help. How many of you have felt really awkward asking for help when you know, I haven't really been investing in this relationship with this person. I haven't called them in months, and now all of a sudden I'm calling to ask for help. Anybody ever felt the awkwardness of that? Right? Because this actually requires us walking with God. partnering with him, having a relationship with him. So all of a sudden, tending the flame, this commitment that requires me moving forward with God, man, it's going to require me being all in with him. I can't just be parting with him. I got to be all in with him. And I'm going to need all of him. And that is exactly where God wants us. I remember this. He kept burning this into my heart. And every year, every New Year's Day, he would remind me to stop on New Year's Day and say, God, this year, bring things into my life that are bigger than me, that I cannot do on my own, and I cannot do without you. And if you want to start praying some prayers that start moving you toward that calling and destiny in your life, start praying that prayer. God, bring things into my life that I cannot control. They're bigger than me. They will require you. And you watch what he begins to do. Because our dependence and our weakness is the place where he shines. That is where he is strong. Commitment to God's calling requires getting comfortable with dependency and trust in God's ability. No shortcuts. No shortcuts. Would you bow your head with me? I don't know where you're at today. As you're listening online, as you're here outside now under the stars, I don't know where you're at today, but here's what I know. There is a reason for your life. You are not an accident. God has a call on your life. And he's inviting you in the midst of a season like this. And please understand that just because things are kind of crazy in the world does not say it's a time to take a pass on God's call. All the more, recognize you are here for such a time as this. God wants to wake up in you. He wants to stir up in you the reasons, the things in your life. And if you feel distant from God for any reason, you don't have to live there. You don't have to live there. You don't have to crawl your way back to him. You don't have to pay penance to get back and close with God. He simply says, I've done all the work for you to stay close to me. Just come right back to the cross. And you can right now say, Father God, I want to know you. I want to be close to you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know your love for people. I want to know your call on my life. And today, I'm answering the call to say, yes, I know it'll be bigger than me. I just want to learn to walk and trust you like this. I want to know you that way. I want to begin to know you like Moses knew you. A life marked in humility and dependence and patience and love for people. Because I want my life to count. I want my life to count. I want people's lives to be lifted out of circumstances and situations and addictions and challenges. God, I want to be a part of that. So I'm saying yes to you tonight and all that you have for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're watching online, there'll be a whole list of questions that you can use for discussion. And for all of you, if you want to go later and watch this at the end, there'll be these questions for you as well. They're all reflection questions that probably would be incredibly, incredibly helpful in this season for you. Questions about your own willingness. Questions about the things that God has already brought you through. What has he delivered you from? Guess what? Those kinds of things are the very places he uses you to minister to other people.